Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning as we celebrate and we reflect on Palm Sunday, the start of our Holy Week. I forgot today was my birthday. I did until I got here and Chris and Ralph said happy birthday and I kind of waited. I was like, today is my birthday. Thank you so much. That was sweet. Very special. And thank you for the flowers. Those are absolutely gorgeous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm blessed. Very blessed by you.
We are too. Amen.
You bless my life so much. Thank you so much. So Palm Sunday, here we are. We're at this threshold of what we will be experiencing as Holy Week. This is the start, and it was a great celebration. In Psalms 118, what they were claiming, what they were singing on that day, that Palm Sunday, the thanksgiving for victory. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let Israel say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his faithful love endures forever. I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in the spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. And it says, Lord, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. For the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords. You are my God and I will give thanks. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's how we enter into this time. We enter into this time of praise and worship, giving thanks. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I was listening to a sermon this morning, and one of the praise songs they sang was, how marvelous it is. How miraculous it is. Our God, the love endures forever. And as we journey through this week together, I pray that you feel that. How miraculous, how marvelous the love of our Father is to us. And on that note, not just making this an ordinary week, not making this all just another Monday, another Tuesday, another Wednesday, another Thursday, another Friday, but actually taking hold of it for this holy week, setting aside time during this week, reflecting on the holiness, reflecting on all the meaning that this week has. And we can have ways that will help you to do that. On Friday, March 29th at 6, we're going to be having a Seder meal. It's not one that you're going to come hungry to, but it is going to be a time that we gather together and we look at the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples and also the significance of Passover and what it means to us and what it means for our faith. And then after that Seder meal and that Passover reflection, we will join in the sanctuary, and Paul is going to have a Good Friday representation service. And so we're all going to include Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday together in one service on Friday, the 29th at 6. So if you would like to come and join us for that, please sign up. And that is just to make sure that we have enough place settings for you at the table as we do the Seder meal. Okay? So Friday, at 6. Saturday. Yeah. Saturday is... Yeah! It's going to be our Easter egg hunt. And if you'd like to volunteer, please come at 10. We are going to need help setting up. We're going to need help hiding all those eggs. Yes, and we'll have some extra bags here too. We'll have some sacks for them if they don't bring them. But yeah, it would be great if they would bring something. But if not, we'll have some extra ones.
Some of the kids bring their basket or a bucket or whatever they can have.
Yep, and then we'll start hiding eggs at 10 and prepare the rooms and set up for the luncheon, and we would need volunteers to help with the luncheon as well, and cleanup, and some adults in the rooms where we're hiding eggs just to help with kid control because they get a little crazy. We've always been blessed. The Lord always blesses us on this Easter egg hunt, and I know that He will continue to do that, so... Take some flyers, pass those out. And then Sunday. Sunday is the big celebration where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Same time, same channel. 10:30 a.m. Join us for our Easter celebration. And I printed out some, April didn't do it. I just did it on a whim. They're a little rough looking. But the point is invite somebody to come. Invite a friend, invite a neighbor, invite someone in your life that you know that they need to know the good news that Jesus Christ is not dead, He has risen, so they can hear it. So invite somebody to join us on Sunday morning for our Easter service. And then the first Sunday in April, we'll be having a special service celebrating those that wish to become members of Faith Church. If you're one of those people that would like to become a member, there's a sign-up sheet for that as well, so we can get things ready for you and include you in that special time. So we have a lot of things going on, Faith Church. We are blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Thank you for, joining us in this time. And honestly, I remember when Pastor Jeff and some of the elders of the church started doing the Monday, Thursday, and the Good Friday services. And the first time that we did it as a family, and it just adds so much richness to the Holy Week experience, so much richness to what we experience on Sunday morning with the resurrection, because you have to have a Friday before you can have a Sunday. So if you can, I hope that you will join us. Continue prayers for Pastor Jeff and Tina. Pastor Jeff is home. If you haven't been able to read that, Tina's been very good about posting some updates about him on Facebook, but she continues to ask for prayer for wisdom and strength because she's going to be his caretaker. There are going to be some home health care people coming in and helping her, but it's not full time. And just giving thanks for the people that have stood in the gap. She has wonderful, wonderful Christian neighbors that have come around her and surrounded them with support and love and help. If you could just continue to lift them up, praying for Tina's wisdom, because there's a lot of things she doesn't know, especially about, Pastor Jeff's diabetes and his insulin and things like that. And continue to pray for his healing. Mary is home. Pray for Greg. He went on his fishing trip. He was excited about that. But pray for Mary this week. She still has to have some IV treatments for the kidney infection that she had. So continue to pray for her and pray for Brad with some developments. There's been some spots that they've found, and he's going to continue with his treatments. Just that it is finished. That's what I've been praying, that Lord, just let it be finished with Brad's cancer treatments. So are there any other prayer requests? Some that I may have been forgetting. Praises. I got a lot of praises. Unspoken. Yeah, Paula! Amen. That's great news. And that procedure went for Tina's grandbaby. That was a pretty extensive fire downtown, wasn't it? So pray for those. Housing is already a struggle, and for those that have to go back out and try to find a place, just yes. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we gather together this morning with great anticipation, with great expectation on this Palm Sunday that leads us into this Holy Week. And Lord, even though we know how the story ends, we know the victory that is won, we know the awesome, marvelous, miraculous thing that happened on Sunday, but we know that we have to go through, just like our life, we have to go through this Holy Week. We have to come upon Monday, Thursday. We have to come upon Good Friday, Lord. And because without those things, how marvelous, how wonderful, how miraculous would Sunday really be? Help us to take this week, to make it holy, to set aside time for you in your word, in our spirits, in our minds, Lord. And for all these prayer concerns, for all these, the fires, all these people needing comfort, healing, Lord, and wisdom, we bring them before you. And we ask that you do what only you can do, that you come into their life, that you chase after them, that they know that you are close to them. You surround them with your grace, Lord, and bring healing where there needs to be healing. Grant wisdom for those that ask for wisdom and comfort to those that need that. You are our great comforter. And we thank you that you are a God that hears us, that you're a God that sees us. And we come with our palm branches raised and praise this morning as we sing our victory song. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 6. Once you were dead because of your obedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been given and you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're entering Holy Week. Today was the triumphal entry of your Son, Jesus Christ, into Jerusalem to begin the week. To begin his time there where all kinds of things happened, but they were in your plan. And we need to experience this week in every way we can so that we can see and hear and feel what Jesus did for us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for those who have given gifts to this church and continue to give gifts to this church and reach out and give of themselves in this community because of this church. And we thank you for that. So bless these gifts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, today. Today, the crowd sang Hosanna to Jesus entering Jerusalem. There were multiple times that the disciples or others wanted to go into Jerusalem before this, but there was a special time set aside by God for this Holy Week to start. And he told the disciples to go and he'd find a colt tied up. And the colt was just where he told them it would be. And they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw cloaks on it. And people laid their cloaks on the ground and laid their palm branches on the ground and shouted Hosanna. But the tune changed. And on Tuesday he went into his father's house and he was mad. Why? Because they turned the temple into a place that he felt was not worthy. He overturned the tables and the money changers because they were stealing from the people, trying to bring sacrifice in that temple. And all the time, the Sanhedrin tried to find a way to destroy him. That's what Holy Week's all about. Finding a way to turn the crowds that shouted Hosanna into crowds that will say, crucify him. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a joyous day and we don't want to water that down in any way. And as we were singing, I stood up there and watched the palm branches being waved through the congregation as we sang songs, just like the first Palm Sunday. We need to celebrate the whole week. Leave nothing out. So I encourage you, any of you that can come to help celebrate that week, to do that. And if you can't, we understand life's busy and not everybody can come at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. We understand all that. But if you don't have time to do that, there's another place you can go, right here in your Bible. And you can read about all those things and you can follow the week through and you can picture all those things that happen. You know, I look around the congregation and this sanctuary and there's all kinds of signs of that all around. The signs of spring and something new. Open the window over here and you see the bread and the jug where they washed Jesus' feet and the palm branches from today and the cross coming up. All those pictures engraved in my mind from when I was this big and I was blessed and I could see it happen and I could feel it and I could experience it every year over and over again. Take time this week. Experience Holy Week in a way you've never experienced it before. And you'll be blessed by it. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us on that journey. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Amen.
We'll read our scripture text from Mark 11, the triumphal entry. When they approached Jerusalem, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here right away.' So they went and found the colt outside in the street, tied by a door. They untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they said to them, 'As Jesus had said.' So they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their clothes on the road, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' He went into Jerusalem and into the temple. After looking around at everything, since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning.
I confess that on the road to Jerusalem, I don't know where in the crowd I might have stood. Did I throw my coat in honor or wave my palm branch in celebration? Did I lead the crowd in shouts of worship or stand in the back and just watch? I only know that your love chases and weeps. Your love celebrates, forgives, and walks the long road with me. Even when I leave you behind in the dust, your love endures. Not just the goodness, but also the pain and the mistakes. I cannot explain even a moment that I forsake the opportunity to worship you. But today, I fall on my knees. I lay down the coat of my shame and sin. I wave my palm branch of surrender. I declare that you are God. There is no other. And I watch you go down the road where I know you endured it all for me. Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Some of you might be familiar with that scripture from Deuteronomy, where we've just covered that in our chronological Bible study. But also, we also see it in the New Testament. But some of you might be familiar with a prayer shawl. Our prayer shawls today, some of them are made as a gift. Some of them are knitted. Some of them are sewn and given to someone who may need comfort. And as they're making them, as they're crocheting the threads together, they're praying for the person that it's for. Our prayers of love, our prayers of healing. And the shawl is a symbol of healing and hope. But the prayer shawl has a long history that goes all the way back to the early Hebrews. In obedience to Numbers 15:38, men would attach the tassels all four corners of a cloak or a gown, and that was to be worn. In Numbers and Deuteronomy 22, you shall make for yourself tassels on all four corners of the garment for which you have covered yourself. God instructed his people to create this special garment adorned with braided tassels. Wearing the garment honored God as the cloak, and the tassels served as a reminder of God, a reminder to be obedient to God's commands instead of following their own desire, which we know how that went. But it's the same as our lives too. Instead of following their own desires and living in reverence to God, the cloak and tassel served as a kind of insurance that the wearer would not be distracted by unholy things and that they were to be holy, to live a life that is holy. And the cloak in the Hebrew tradition was called a tallit. T-A-L-L-I-T. Tallit. And the threads, white with blue running through it. Zit-zit, T-Z-I-T, a symbol of the covenant, loyalty, Jewish identity, and a prayer. Essentially, wearing it meant that you were wrapping yourself in prayer, just as you were wrapping yourself in God's presence and his grace. Candy has so graciously allowed us to use her shawl this morning. She gave Pastor Jeff some money, so this was what he would bring back to her from his trip to Israel the last time that he went. So the shama on the neck and the cuff from Deuteronomy 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You would wrap yourself entirely with the shawl, covering your head, covering your face, signifying your identity to a holy God. Wrapping is a significance. You wrap yourself in that prayer shawl. Essentially, your life becomes a prayer and an offering to God. And as you pray, your prayers become holy to God. And it's interesting then that when Jesus rides into Jerusalem that day, people lining the streets, suddenly taking their prayer shawls, their cloaks is what they called it. But that word for cloak is translated to that Hebrew word, tallits, laying them down on the street in front of them, taking off the holy prayer shawl and laying it down as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Imagine that for a moment, the street being strung with palm leaves, prayer cloths, people waving and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus himself, who is sitting upon that donkey, layered with prayer shawls, tallits, like Solomon before him, comes down to the road and right up to the temple. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And after the procession, Jesus took a look around the temple and then retreated to Bethany. The procession was planned, it was deliberate, and it was symbolic, a kingdom of peace, except most of Jesus' followers and fans had no idea what was to come. They should have. Jesus had told them what kind of kingdom that it would be. Most still believed that the overthrow of Rome was at hand and that the Messiah would literally sit upon the throne. Yet they did not know that Jesus was no ordinary teacher. They saw him, Messiah, a spokesperson for the people, rightful king, man of God, and they laid down their prayer shawls before him. It was an act of loyalty, of extreme reverence and trust. To remove it, to spread it before Jesus' feet, meant that someone saw Jesus as the man who exalted God's presence, who exemplified what it meant to live a godly life, who represented the might and the power of God. We know Jesus represented the healing power of God. We remember as Jesus is going and healing the leader's daughter that on his way, a woman reached out and touched the wings of the braids of his tzitzit, of his garment, and immediately was healed. For the Messiah would be healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. The people laid down their prayers. Because they knew who Jesus was, they knew what he could do. And laying down their shawls, those prayers, they were laying down their most adorned prayer at the foot of Jesus for release, for freedom, for healing, for God's good news of victory, of oppression, fear, poverty, and pain. They laid it down in front of him. I wonder if the memory of Jesus' words, the good news of Jesus' mission was read by Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth, and it was told in by Luke. I wonder if that resounded in them on that day. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. They knew. They laid it all down, their hopes, their faith to the one that restores Israel. But Jesus was up to so much more than that. And isn't that so much of like us as well? As when we lay down our prayers at the feet of Jesus, that we think we know who he is, we think we know what he's going to do, but that there's so much more. He had tried to tell his followers and his disciples about what was to come. They were too inspired to hear it. It sounded too strange, too unbelievable, too out of the box to understand it, to take it in. They wouldn't understand it until much, much later. That he would die. They forget that he said it. They have to be reminded. Don't you remember what he told you? Don't you remember that he said he was going to die? And that he would be raised again on the third day? Don't you remember? They weren't paying attention. All they could see was what they were wanting. How the ending they wanted was going to be. He was the one who healed and saved all people, no matter who they were. He was the one who cared and preached the good news, that preached with authority. He was the one that all of their hopes and dreams restored upon, rested on him. For him, they would lay down their reverence. They would lay down their life. The day we call Palm Sunday, with all the waving of the palms and the laying down and the prayers to the Son of God, he did. They just couldn't quite understand how. And we express our reverence and our praise to Jesus. We understand even more deeply the sacrifice that he is about to make on our behalf. And so this Sunday, this Palm Sunday, take that opportunity to lay down your prayer. The prayers for healing, the prayers for restoration, the prayers for resurrection in your life, for our church, prayers of victory over sin and death. Whatever is plaguing your life right now, whatever prayers lie most deeply in your heart that you keep tucked away, take a moment and lay it all down. Lay it down. Your hopes, your dreams, your trust, your faith in the Jesus who triumphed over it all. All your pain, all your doubt, all your worries, all your hesitations at the feet of Jesus who promises to heal your wounds, to redeem your life. That's what Palm Sunday is about, coming to Jesus, laying it in before him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, house of prayer and praise. Praise the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes it's hard for us to lay our most intimate things that we keep inside of our hearts, that we keep inside of our minds, to release them to you, to turn them over to you. And sometimes I feel like it's all day long, that there's just this burden or this guilt or this doubt that I just keep running over and over and over in my mind. And I have to just keep turning it over to you, laying it down before you. Like, is there anyone stronger than you? Is there anyone more worthy than you? Because I can do nothing without you. And so this morning I pray that we come before you as we enter into this holy week, Lord, that we just rid ourselves. We rid ourselves those things that we carry, those burdens that we want to keep tucked away, and that we can lay them down to you. Those distractions that Satan tries to get our attention away from you, so that when we go through this week, we can see you. We can see all of you, all the pain, all the rejection that you had to suffer on our behalf, Lord. And so that when we get to Sunday, we can experience all that you have, that resurrection, not only the resurrection of your life, but we are dead of our sin and shame and those chains of bondage. And we have victory through you, the risen Lord. But we have to lay it down first for you to be able to do what only you can do. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. The road has been long. We've seen much on this journey, and it's not time to quit now. There's much to be done. As we journey through this holy week together with Jesus, when we sit with him at the Passover table, when we walk through the garden of despair with our Lord, when the shouts of praise turn to the screams demanding death, when the midday sun turns black as night and the earth quakes, when the stone is rolled in front of the tomb, remember, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Go in peace. Go ready to proclaim with your lives that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.